gospel reading is John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was in it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The word of God for the people of God. Please be seated. Our senses help us bring back deep memories. Many of you have old photographs in your home that you just have to look at, and they take you back to that person or something you did with those individuals. They may take you back to a particular event. If you have photographs from a place you visited, maybe on a family vacation or something along those lines, you just have to look at that photograph, and it grabs you, it takes you there. There's an emotional investment there. Music also has the same capability, doesn't it? I know that there are songs that come up on my playlist that take me back. Now some of the songs that my girls sing take me way back to when I was their age, strangely enough. But there are songs on my playlist that take me back to my days in high school and take me back to particular trips. There are songs that take me back to a home I lived in at some given point. It's pretty impressive, the power of song, right? And the kind of emotional toll in a good way that it can take on us. There's one other sense that Vladimir Nabokov said about smells. He said, "Smells are surer than sights or sounds to make your heartstrings crack." You see, the sense of smell is just as powerful as sight or sound. In fact, many would say it is more powerful. A sense of smell will take you back perhaps deeper than you can by looking at a picture or hearing a particular song. I know that when I walk back into the house I was raised in, it takes me way back. It's the same smell it's always been. I think that's probably true for the rest of you as well, whether in your own homes or you probably remember the smell that you may have had growing up in your home. Smells take us back. This church itself has many smells throughout the year. During Wednesday night, there's a particular smell that we have because we have a family night meal. There are smells when you walk into this place. You can smell the wood, right? There are smells when you walk down the hallways. There are smells when you walk down to the children's wing. There are all kinds of smells when I walk into my girl's room. Anything from the smell of a fruity granola bar to, well, the other end of the spectrum, if you know what I'm talking about. All kinds of smells that take us back. I worked maintenance when I was in middle and high school at the school I went to. And there is a smell that I will never forget. When we would empty the lunch trash into the dumpster at the end of the day, that is a smell I will never forget. It's a smell I'd like to forget, but it is not a smell I will ever forget. And I still, when I walk towards or near a dumpster, it takes me back. Of course, there's the smell of an oven. When we smell something baking in the oven, it sometimes takes us straight to Christmas. Some of you are already counting down the days. It's not even summer yet. You're counting down the days to Christmas. You may smell something like ginger or peppermint. It may, though, when you smell something like bread baking, it may take you back to your childhood at your grandparents' home. Smells have a powerful effect. Perfume also. Perfume can evoke the memory of someone you haven't seen in years. And you know what it's like to catch that scent from someone else, and it takes you back to another person that you remember that scent from perhaps years and years and years ago. So here in our worship service, we primarily focus on a couple of different senses, sight and sound. Almost entirely about sound. So much of what we do in this place is about what we're hearing. The prayers that we hear read. The scripture that we hear, the prayers that we hear said. The scripture that we hear read. The songs we hear and that we sing. So much of it is about sound, but also sight makes a difference. It makes a difference that we glance up and see this cross every Sunday as a reminder of where we are and who our Lord is and why we are here. One scent we don't focus on at all, maybe except on Lord's Supper Sunday, is smell. It would be kind of strange to focus on smell in a worship service, wouldn't it? There are actually many Christian traditions that do. You've seen some Christian traditions where the priest or the rector walks down the aisle swinging incense. It's meant to be symbolic of our prayers and our worship rising up to God, but it also has a smell. It is meant to invoke a smell that draws us into worship or draws us into something sacred. Now, I will not be walking down the aisle with incense anytime soon. I think Alan might have a problem with that if I lit something up in here. But today's passage is about something that smells. It's strange that the central moving aspect of this passage, of this story that we read in John today, is about something that smells, a very strong smell at that. Not a fleeting fragrance, not something you catch walking by someone at the mall, but an overwhelming smell that fears an entire house, gets people out of their seats, that stops the gathering and garners attention, and strangely enough, evokes the central truths about who Jesus is in our midst. So Jesus is having dinner with friends, familiar friends. We know them all, Lazarus, Mary, Martha, and the disciples. Martha is serving, just like Martha would, right? We have the other stories about Mary and Martha. Well, guess what? Martha is still serving because there's nothing wrong with being a servant. Okay, the disciples are there with him. Lazarus, who had just been resurrected from the grave days earlier, or resuscitated from the grave earlier. And then there's Mary with a pint of expensive perfume who chooses to pour it out and into her hair, and to wipe Jesus' feet. Now, you may stop and say, well, that's strange today, but back then, that's probably what all the women did, right? No, this would have been strange to them as well. For a woman to let down her hair like that and to pour an expensive fragrance perfume that was meant for burial or kingship into her hair and to wash someone's feet would have been a radical move. And it filled the house with fragrance. Of course, Judas catches the scent. It really reminds me of when my dog is on one end of the house and I pop open a can of something. He comes running in. He couldn't have heard anything, but he smells it. So he came in. Judas does the same thing. Judas smells this perfume. And Judas comes in and says, whoa, what are you doing? This is meant for something else. You shouldn't be using this. This should be used for the poor. Now, we know to take Judas's words with a grain of salt, right? What he says isn't a bad question. He's if it came from anybody else, I might say, that's a good point. Shouldn't we be using this for something like feeding the poor? But Jesus sees through it. Jesus says, leave her alone. Because Jesus is honored by her emptying this bottle of perfume for his sake. Jesus is honored and loved. And if you can imagine this, because I think sometimes we imagine Jesus as this emotionless being, almost like a robot, who can't smile or cry or laugh. I think Jesus is touched by what Mary is doing. I think Jesus feels loved in this moment when he knows what's coming in the next few days. Jesus is sensing what it is like for one of his followers to unpour all of what they have for his sake. Jesus is touched because a woman said, I'm going to empty myself and that which is valuable to me for your sake. And then let's not forget this last line. A line that I have seen abused and misused, perhaps more than any other line in Scripture. When Jesus says, the poor you shall always have among you. Because I've seen some Christians take this line and say, well, I can't really do more. Jesus says the poor is always going to be with us. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is saying, so long as this world goes on, you'll have the poor with you, and you must keep working for them, feeding them, advocating for them. This passage is the convergence of all that Jesus and the Christian life is about. The Christian story, in many ways, comes full circle here. In some ways, it foreshadows what is about to come. But it also is a reminder of what Jesus has already done and what Jesus is doing in the world. The perfume is a foreshadowing, symbolizing Jesus' death. When Jesus says she's going to use it for my burial, Jesus is saying a time is about to come when I will be buried, when I will die. Jesus pouring out his life for us. Jesus emptying his life for us. But the perfume is also used in other circumstances to anoint a king. And that's a reminder that not only is Jesus king, but because Jesus is king, we are to give of ourselves, we are to empty all of ourselves into his service. So much of this passage is about emptying ourselves completely. And then there's that final line. The line that shouldn't be ignored, the poor you will always have with you. As I mentioned before, this line has been used to justify not helping the poor. Say, well, they're here. There's nothing more I can do. Jesus said it. They're always going to be here. Most Christians, I think, understand that this passage means that there will always be people to help, and we must always be seeking them out. But this is also one of those passages that might be even translated incorrectly in your Bible. We're not really sure. Because one of the translations of the word exite, which means you will have the poor with you, can also be translated as have the poor with you. In other words, keep the poor with you at all times. Have the poor amongst you. If that is the translation, I think Jesus would have us do that, whether or not that is this translation or not. That is an important charge for the Christian. Have the poor with you. Keep the poor with you at all times. Jesus is saying, I'm about to leave you, but the poor you will always have amongst you. And then if you're like me, your mind jumped again to Matthew 25, where Jesus gives those important words, inasmuch as you have done to the least of these, you have also done to me. Jesus says, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I was naked, you gave me clothes. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. By all standards, each one of these kinds of people are poor. And Jesus says, inasmuch as you have done to the least of these, you have also done to me. So Jesus, in one sense, is saying, I'm about to leave you, talking about what's going to transpire in the coming days in Jerusalem. But on the other hand, when Jesus says, keep the poor with you, I think Jesus is also saying, I will always be with you when you are helping the poor. he will be present when his disciples continue on in his ministry. And if we are doing ministry, the poor will always be among us. Jesus is preparing to pour his life out for us, to empty himself for the sake of the world, to go to the cross, to have his blood spilt for the salvation of the world. And it is only appropriate that we empty ourselves for him as well, to give that which is valuable to us over to him. The gospel isn't just about Jesus loving us, although that is the central component. The gospel, like Mary showed, is also what? Us loving him. Jesus receives our love. Jesus receives our offering. Jesus receives our best. Jesus receives our resources. And in that, we can take part in the gospel message. It is a relationship, right? We talk about our relationship with Christ. Isn't a relationship a two-way street? Do we simply sit here and wait for Jesus to give us our get-out-of-hell-free card, or are we prepared to empty ourselves and give something back? So I ask you today, First Baptist Church, are we emptying ourselves into loving Jesus in this place? Are you emptying yourself daily to show your love for Christ? Not just pouring a little bit off the top. Are you emptying the whole bottle? Every day, are you emptying yourself for Jesus? I ask you, when people drive by this place or see you out on the street, what smell are they catching? I don't mean that in a funny way. Really, what smell are they catching from you? What scent are they catching from you? Are they smelling something that's judgmental? Are they smelling something harsh that triggers someone into bad memories? Or are they smelling something that evokes a sense of love and compassion and grace? A few moments ago, I mentioned Matthew 25, where Jesus says, "Inasmuch as you did to the least of these, you have done unto me." I'd like to take a moment as I wrap up this sermon to let you know that on April 27th, you will have the opportunity in a very specific way to empty yourself through this church and into our community. In a few weeks, we're going to have an Operation Inasmuch Saturday. That's on Saturday, April 27th. And during that time, you will have the opportunity to empty yourself and to show the love of Christ to people in this community. Everyone in this church is invited and asked to be a part of that. We will provide opportunities for you to serve others in the name of Christ. And I think each one of you will have a place to serve. Some of us will be going out and doing some yard work with those who are not able to do so, who do not have the strength to do so. You might say that they are poor physically and are not able to do so. And so we will go forth in the name of Jesus to help with that. We will be heading up to Mountain Ridge to meet with those who maybe are poor in health, but also are poor in relationships or poor in family and may not have the kind of family that they should have. You may have the opportunity to share the love of Christ with them on that day. And so we will also be working with SVCM, working with those who were poor financially. And so I just ask you to mark your calendar for that day, April 27th, for Operation Inasmuch. We'd love for you to be there. We challenge you to be there because that will be a very tangible way for you to show that you are taking Jesus' word seriously, that you're keeping the poor with you. You're not avoiding the poor. You're not saying, "I'm too good to be around them." You're not saying, "I have better things to do." But you're going to clear your calendar and say, "You know what? Jesus said, keep the poor amongst you. I'm going to take that charge seriously." Because we believe that in that, people will see the love of Christ clearly. And so we'll be sending out more details about that momentarily. In the meantime, we will close this service looking towards next week, where we will begin our Holy Week observance, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the Last Supper, and then Jesus' journey to the cross. The most explicit glimpse of Jesus emptying ourself. And of course, a week later, we will celebrate the empty tomb. This is an important couple of weeks at First Baptist Church and for Christians across the world. I pray that you will empty yourself as you pray, as you seek to serve, as you worship, so that we can share the love of Christ with all those around us and make sure that when people smell First Baptist Church, they smell all that is good. Let's pray.